There's another fear that people have about being honest, and it is the fear that being honest is useless. What will it do? What's the point of it? Why tell anybody else about what I'm struggling with? Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, didn't help. No, you didn't go there. You haven't ever really been totally honest. Because if you had, you'd already be released. And the fact is, God says, confess your faults one to another, whereby you will be healed. That is a promise, and God is not a liar. He is not a liar. You admit your faults to each other. And the truth is, God has promised to help.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, we continue in our series called Life's Healing Choices. In these lessons, Rick offers an in-depth biblical look at overcoming the hurts, hang-ups, and habits that hold us back in life. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a great video resource that will show you step-by-step how to let go of your past hurts, hang-ups, and habits once and for all, called the Life's Healing Choices Study Kit, an 8-session DVD and workbook. You can take a sneak peek at it while you listen today just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called The Reality Choice.
So the first thing I have to do if I'm going to be poor in spirit is I must humbly admit I don't have it all together. Humbly admit I need help. Here's the second thing I need to do. I need to humbly ask God for help. I admit, then I ask. I admit I need help, then I ask God for help. I move from confession, I admit I need help, to petition, I need help. I'm asking God for help. And in 2 Corinthians 1:9, Paul says it like this. He was going through a tough time. He said, we despaired of even life itself. Did you know that at one point Paul said, I was ready to kick the bucket. I was so depressed. I was so discouraged. I was ready to give up on life. And then he says here in this verse, we saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. That's step one, poor in spirit. I don't have the power to change. But that was good. Why would it be good to admit my helplessness and powerlessness? For then we put everything into the hands of God. You don't know God's all you need till God's all you've got. For then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us, for he can even raise the dead. If God can raise a dead person, he can raise a dead marriage. If God can raise a dead person, he can raise a dead career. If God can raise a dead person, he can raise a dead dream. If God can raise a dead person, he can restore the love and romance in your marriage. God can do miracles. Anybody can bring good out of good. God brings good out of bad. He specializes in turning crucifixions into resurrections. So I ask God for help. Now notice on that verse, notice there on the outline, it says we couldn't help ourselves. We put everything into the hands of God. Circle the word everything. This is total surrender. Kay wrote a book on this called Dangerous Surrender. It's not partial surrender. Well, okay, like my finances are in a mess, so I'm going to give God my finances. No, you got to give him all of your life. Or my sex life in a mess, so I'm going to give him my sex life. No, you got to give him all of your life. It's total surrender. We put everything in his hands. Let me ask you a question. Have you done this? Have you ever come to the point in your life where you say, okay, God, everything in my life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the stinking, the rotten, the happy, the sad, the up, the down, I put it all in your hands. I put it all in your hands. I beg you as a friend and pastor who loves you, don't wait until you hit bottom. Sometimes we're so obstinate, God has to lay us flat on our back to make us look up to him. You see, there's an easy way and there's a hard way to do this. The easy way to change is to see the light. The hard way is to feel the heat. The problem is most of us rarely change until our fear of change is exceeded by the pain. And then when the pain gets so great, we go, okay, I got to get help. Don't get to that place where everything has to drop out in your life and five things have to go wrong at once for you to admit, I need help, and I ask God for help. I come to God and I ask him. I love the message paraphrase of this first beatitude. There on your outline, Matthew 5:3, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. Congratulations. With less of you, there's more of God and his rule. I admit I need help. I ask God for help. And then there's a third thing. If I really want to be poor in spirit, and this is the hardest of all for many people, I must humbly accept help from other people. I must humbly accept help from others. And this is the third way. God has wired us in such a way that we don't get well by ourselves. Let me be very blunt with you. You know that problem you'd like to get rid of in your life? That temptation, that defect, that fault, that fear, that worry, that loneliness, that whatever is in your life that messes you up, you're never going to get rid of it on your own. If you could, you would, but you can't, so you won't. You're only going to get well when you're honest with others. Not just God, but with others. And God is why you say, well, I don't want to do that. Why do I do that? It humbles you, and God gives grace to the humble. It is your pride that keeps you stuck. It's your pride that keeps you stuck. Now, the Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one. We're talking about people. Because they have a good return for their work. And if one falls down, his friend can help him up. That's called recovery. But pity the man who falls and has no one there to help him up. You see, God wired us, as I said, that we need each other. And 58 times in the New Testament, it uses the phrase one another. Love one another and care for one another and help one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, support one another, counsel one another. We are to help each other out. That's why we have church. We are to help each other out. You were never meant to go through life as a lone ranger. You were never meant to go through it on your own. You were never meant to face your problems or your sins by yourself. We need each other. And we have a longing for belonging. And we're not just believers, we're belongers, and we're to help each other out. And the fact is, we need each other to be healthy. If you don't have anybody in your life that you can be totally, brutally honest with, I pity you, because you're not healthy. Because God wired us in such a way that we only get well in community. That's why we have small groups. We only grow in community. That's why we have small groups. And when you're going through a tough time, you need other people around you.
The second half of today's show is coming up next. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 99000. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
We've all been hurt by other people. We've hurt ourselves and we've hurt others. And as a result, every single one of us ends up with some sort of hurt, hang-up, or habit. But the question we all face is, where do we go from here? The Life's Healing Choices DVD Study Kit from Pastor Rick Warren offers freedom from those hurts, hang-ups, and habits through 8 healing choices that promise true happiness and life transformation. Using the Beatitudes of Jesus as a foundation, Rick leads you through 8 video sessions that offer practical, encouraging biblical teaching. Each session includes real-life stories of men and women whose lives have been transformed by living out the 8 choices presented in this study kit. Through making each of these choices, you will find God's pathway to wholeness, growth, spiritual maturity, happiness, and healing. You'll find real answers, real hope, and a real future, one healing choice at a time. We'd love to send you this life-changing DVD and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this broadcast ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the Life's Healing Choices DVD Study Kit from Pastor Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks.
Once again, here's Rick.
You see, God wired us, as I said, that we need each other. And 58 times in the New Testament, it uses the phrase one another. Love one another and care for one another and help one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, support one another, counsel one another. We are to help each other out. That's why we have church. We are to help each other out. You were never meant to go through life as a lone ranger. You were never meant to go through it on your own. You were never meant to face your problems or your sins by yourself. We need each other, and we have a longing for belonging, and we're not just believers, we're belongers, and we're to help each other out. And the fact is, we need each other to be healthy. If you don't have anybody in your life that you can be totally, brutally honest with, I pity you, because you're not healthy. Because God wired us in such a way that we only get well in community. That's why we have small groups. We only grow in community. That's why we have small groups. And when you're going through a tough time, you need other people around you. Did you know that the Bible says that when a guy's going through a tough time and he's so upset he can't even believe in God, he still deserves to have friends? God says, even when people don't believe in me, they still deserve to have friends who hang in there with them. Look at this verse on the screen, Job 6:14. A despairing man means somebody who's given up on his career, his marriage, his life, whatever. A despairing person should have the devotion of his friends, even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty. He's saying, God says this, that I put people on earth to help each other out, and even when a guy's going through a tragedy, he goes, I don't even believe in God right now. I'm so mad, I'm so angry, I'm so ticked off, I'm so upset, I'm in such a crisis, I feel so lost, I don't even believe in God. He still deserves friends who will be around him and say, well, we believe in you. And don't worry about it. We'll believe in God for you. We're going to carry you through on our faith. We will believe God for you, and we're going to pull you through this crisis. God says, that's real friendship. And he says, pity the person who hasn't ever gotten in a group and gotten close to somebody close enough to do that, to help each other out. You see, if all you do is come to church on Sunday, you get the word once a week. That would be like eating a banquet once a week and fasting for the next 6 days. What would that do to your digestive system? You wouldn't be very healthy if all you did is get the word once a week and the rest of the week you fasted. You need the word one-on-one during the week. And when you go to a small group Bible study, you get a little second boost of the Word of God. And that gives you strength. I got a friend named Walter who's a pastor in Houston, and he said this week that his son had an iPhone and the battery went dead on it. And so he plugged it into his MacBook, the Apple laptop. They're called MacBooks. And he said he plugged his iPhone into his MacBook to recharge it, but it wasn't recharging. And he couldn't figure out why it wasn't getting any more power. And he said, finally, I opened it up, and he said, I realized that I only get the power when the book is opened. I only get the power when the book is opened. And when you sit in a Bible study with three or four other people in somebody's house or a Starbucks or in an office and the book is open, guess what? You get the power. That's where it comes from for living. Now, this next verse on your outline is one of the most important verses for your health and holiness and hope and becoming that Christ and getting over your habits and hang-ups. So I want us to read it together, James 5:16. Admit your faults to God. Oh, sorry. Read it again. Admit your faults to the psychiatrist. Oh, never mind. Let me read it again. Admit your faults to the priest. Oh, no. Let's really read it this time. Admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now circle the word healed. And circle the word admit. And circle the word pray. And circle the word each other and draw a line between them. Because if you want to be healed in your life, that's the key. Admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so you may be healed. How many times over 30 years have you heard me say this? Revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. It's based on that verse. The way you get well in life is by revealing your feeling. And when I'm on the patio and somebody comes up and says, Pastor Rick, I've never told this to anybody. I know they're on the road to recovery. I know that they're about to experience freedom for the first time. Because when they share for the first time, I've never told this to anybody. And they share it with me. All of a sudden, they're opening the closet door and the boogeyman comes out and he's not as big as we thought he was. And there's this, why didn't I do that a long time ago? There is relief and there is healing just in sharing, just in admitting. Why? Because the moment you do that, you humble yourself and God gives grace to the humble. To sharing that fear, to sharing that fault, sharing that difficulty, revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. Now, this is the hardest step for some of you because it really hits your pride. In other words, I don't mind telling God about my habit, but I'm not about to tell anybody else. And I don't mind telling God about my attraction, but I'm not going to tell anybody else. And I don't mind, and my stomach just starts churning even thinking about it. I don't mind telling God, because I know he already knows about my addiction, about my problem, about my fear, but I'm not about to tell anybody else. Well, good luck. You'll be stuck in it the rest of your life because you're never going to get well on your own. Never. God has wired us in a way that we need each other to grow. Now, no, let me be real clear about this. If all you want to do is be forgiven, tell God. But if you want to be healed, you got to tell other people. Now, you don't have to tell everybody. You don't have to put it on the Goodyear blimp at the Super Bowl. You only need to tell one or two other people. People that you trust, who don't have a big mouth, who are going to love you unconditionally, who aren't going to blame you, but are going to go, yep, me too. I've been there, done that. Or even if it's not the same thing, they go, well, that's got to be tough. You don't have to tell everybody, but you have to tell somebody. You know, honestly, my biggest hurdle to holiness, personally, is my desire to look good. I wonder if any of you relate to that. You want to look good to other people. So you don't want to tell anybody else about what's going on in your life. But you know the cool thing? I've been in a Bible study group, small group, for 6 years. I don't have to look good with that group. They know me, warts and all. I don't have to look good. I don't have to pretend I've got it all together. I don't have to. I can share fears and faults and sins. Everybody needs a place like that. Now, I really want you to have relief and release and freedom. But you're going to have to deal with this fear of honesty that you've got in your life. Of like, well, nobody will understand what I'm going through. And there are three fears that Satan keeps you stuck with. Three fears. The first fear that Satan keeps you stuck in a rut with is the fear of your own emotions. That's a fear. And it is the fear that if I deal with this issue, that memory, that event, that sin, that abuse, that accident, that hurt, that evil, wicked, mean, bad, and nasty thing, if I actually face it, I will not be able to handle my emotions. I won't be able to handle the grief. I won't be able to handle the shame. I won't be able to handle my own emotions. In fact, I may just go crazy. Now, let me deal with something right now. If you've ever felt, I'm going out of my mind, I'm going crazy, relax. If you've ever felt, I'm going crazy, and if I dealt with that, I would literally go crazy. Every human being has had that fear. You're not so special. Everybody else has felt they were going crazy at different times. Everybody else has felt at different times that they were losing their mind. So it's not a big deal. Everybody else has felt at different times in their life that they were losing their mind or had the fear that they were losing their mind. Everybody in this room has fears. Everybody in this room has insecurities. Everybody in this room wants to look good. Everybody in this room has habits they don't like. We're all in the same boat. You're broken, but you're not crazy. There's that fear of your own emotion. Now, there's a second fear you have, and it is the fear of the reactions of others. And I'm afraid to be honest, because you might reject me. You might dismiss me. You might think I'm less of a Christian. You might think I'm evil. You might abandon me. And I've been there. I don't want to be honest, because you might reject me. And I don't like that. Why am I afraid to tell you I am? Because if I tell you who I am, I'm all I've got. And if you don't like it, I'm up a creek. And so I'm afraid of your rejection. I'm afraid of your disapproval. And I'm afraid that you'll try to fix me. You need to get over that fear. There's another fear that people have about being honest, and it is the fear that being honest is useless. What will it do? What's the point of it? Why tell anybody else about what I'm struggling with? Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, didn't help. No, you didn't go there. You haven't ever really been totally honest. Because if you had, you'd already be released. You'd already be released. And the fact is, God says, confess your faults one to another, whereby you will be healed. That is a promise, and God is not a liar. He is not a liar. You admit your faults to each other. The truth is, God has promised to help.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions that we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. You'll find this message and others, along with more helpful resources. Rick will be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement, but first, it's no secret that we've all been hurt by other people. We've hurt ourselves, we've hurt others, and as a result, every single one of us ends up with some sort of hurt, hang-up, or habit. But the question we all face is, where do we go from here? The Life's Healing Choices DVD study kit from Pastor Rick Warren offers freedom from those hurts, hang-ups, and habits through 8 healing choices that promise true happiness and life transformation. Using the Beatitudes of Jesus as a foundation, Rick leads you through 8 video sessions that offer practical, encouraging Bible teaching. Each session includes real-life stories of men and women whose lives have been transformed by living out the 8 choices presented in this study kit. Through making each of these choices, you will find God's pathway to wholeness, growth, spiritual maturity, happiness, and healing. You'll find real answers, real hope, and a real future, one healing choice at a time. We'd love to send you this life-changing DVD and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this broadcast ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the Life's Healing Choices DVD study kit from Pastor Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
So many of our problems come down to this basic reality. We're not obeying and trusting God. If you want to get your life back on track so you can live life the way God intended, then you need to answer these basic questions. Will you trust God? Will you obey Him? And will you do what He tells you to do? If you're willing to do that, if you're willing to say, today I will obey, today I will obey, then I want you to let me know about it so I can pray for you. Tell me about your decision to do what God has told you what to do. Just send me an email. Before I go, I want to remind you that Daily Hope is a 100% listener-supported ministry. We don't have any giant donor out there that's funding this daily broadcast. It's all funded by you. And if you can send a financial gift to help us continue to reach people with the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, I would deeply appreciate it. And thanks a lot. And thanks for listening today. Join us next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please write him at rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.